Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Ask Zula. As you guys already know, I interview a lot of TSL people, but today we have a guest that is not from TSL, but she's a friend and she's someone I respect a lot in the streaming world, okay? So if you guys don't know what is the streaming world or what it's all about, right? You're living under a rock, okay? Because I gotta keep up with the times, guys. No, I'm just kidding. But she is not only chill, but she's also talented singer, dancer, musician. What else was it? Model? Gamer? You know, all of the above? She's like, oh my god, please stop. I'm not kidding, but like, you know, all these things are part of her as a person and personality on Twitch. So without further ado, I will introduce you guys to Denise, aka Super Cat K. Woohoo! Please introduce yourself to everyone. I will try not to make you awkward.
No worries. Hi everyone, my name is Denise. I'm also known as Super Cat K on the internet. I am a full-time live streamer on Twitch. And yeah, that's me. That's what I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all the other things that I mentioned above. Don't forget. I guess for people who are not too sure what streaming is, a lot of people are pretty new to Twitch, I think, mm-hmm. like because it's an up-and-coming platform for streamers. And you're one of the few that have actually achieved quite a bit of success on the platform, just from, in my opinion, lah, okay? Maybe for those who are not too familiar, maybe you want to share a little bit about what you do on Twitch
yep.
For the audience and what the platform entails exactly.
Yeah. So I think just a little bit of an intro to Twitch. So Twitch was primarily used or serves the gaming audience on the gaming scene for gamers to be able to kind of form their own communities of people who play the same games, mainly for competitive players as well, because a lot of people love watching competitive players. So that was what Twitch was known for at its very early stages, but in the recent years, especially with COVID-19, Twitch has pretty much went more into lifestyle. So we have people from all types of content. You've got the just chatting streamers, we even have podcasters, people who play Dungeons and Dragons, like board games and stuff like that. Music, all sorts of content, food, cooking.
Oh yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah, so for myself, I started off as a gaming streamer, and I guess we will get into that, but I currently do a lot of variety content. So I do a lot of music, I do just chatting, so I have podcasts on my streams as well. And gaming content and just a bunch of like random things. I've done like one cooking stream, but it's like not a real like proper one. So yeah.
Let me tell you guys, okay. So I watched Denise from when she actually started. So that was about 1 year plus ago, just a little bit over a year ago,
August 2020, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just a little bit over a year ago. And when I watched her stream, I was like, okay, there's something about her that makes me want to continue watching her. And I don't just say this about anybody on the internet, okay? Like, genuinely, I think she can. She speaks very well. And I think that your ability to connect with the audience is very, very strong, which is great for a live streaming platform, right? Because like that is the key to like connect with your audience and to build your audience and stuff. So you started last year and then you grew so much exponentially to this year. And then now you're like doing like super huge projects and things, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
So when you first started streaming, what got you into streaming? And then how was the start of your journey?
Prior to streaming, I was building startups in Singapore and New York for about 2.5 years. And coupled with other different reasons, but a lot of it being COVID, I had to come back to Singapore, and I was building the second startup that is fully in New York in Singapore. So I basically work at night. And that gave me a lot more time to do whatever I wanted in Singapore, and you're at home and you can't go out. So I decided to go back into playing video games. I've always been a big gamer since I was a kid. At the same time, I decided that maybe it would be a good opportunity to go into streaming, because I had already been a Twitch viewer for like a year. So I was already watching people stream. I didn't stream myself, but just, you know, learning more about the Twitch culture. And I was like, I think I can do this too, I think. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it a go. So I bought my PC on National Day
because
of the sales. Yeah, and then the day I got the PC, we fixed it and I immediately streamed that night. And that was my first stream.
Okay, nice.
So it was really just out of interest, just since I'm gaming, why not?
I had the exact same thought as you, because COVID, one, circuit breaker, nothing to do. I was going to be playing games anyway. I was playing Overwatch.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and that's why I started streaming. So I think a lot of people did that at the start, right?
Yes. A lot of people started doing, started to join Twitch and started streaming a lot more because it was just something that we could all do, right?
Yeah.
Like, we just stuck at home and it was a really great way to meet new people, not just in Singapore, but like around the world. I mean, if not for Twitch, I would have not met you.
True.
Right? So it's that concept with everyone else that I've met on the platform.
Yeah. Okay, okay. So after you started out, soon enough, if I'm not wrong, you became partner, right?
Yes.
After that. Okay, maybe you want to share a little bit about how you achieved that. And then you started doing it full-time?
Yes.
And you're doing it full-time now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe you want to share a little bit about that.
So I guess a little bit of context for those of you who don't really know what Twitch is about. There are basically different types of statuses that you can achieve as a Twitch streamer. So the basic one is called affiliate. It was created so that people could earn money from the subscriptions without needing that many viewers and stuff like that. So affiliate's like pretty simple to get. It's just like 3 average viewers and a couple more other things. But partnership is really kind of that next level. You have to have a much higher recurring viewer and a couple of other criteria as well. So back then, I would say it was honestly not so simple to become a Twitch partner.
Yeah.
It back then, we had a lot lesser viewers in Singapore as well. And it was just not as popular as it is now.
And it grew a lot in the span of like...
It grew a lot in 6 months.
Yeah, I was going to say 6 months. It's not even a year. It's like the last 6 months.
Yeah, and I would also like to say that like I am still considered relatively new to the platform, right? So there are people who've been on the platform much longer than I have. So I can imagine how big of a shock that was to them, right?
Yeah.
When everything started growing so fast. I started in 20th August 2020.
Yeah.
I actually got the notice for a partner, I think, mid-October. So actually like 2 months right after I started. But I got rejected the first time.
Okay.
Because they were saying like, oh, we want to see how you progress or how long you stay on the platform for. Because once you hit Twitch partner, it's pretty much permanent, if I'm not wrong. Okay. So they can't revoke the partnership from you. So yeah, sorry, a lot of tech stuff.
No, it's
a lot of like technicalities to it.
Please explain to everyone who probably has no idea what you're talking about, but here to listen anyway.
Yeah. So that's partnered. But I tried again the next month, and thankfully I did get I get partnered. Thank you. And I think when I got partnered, that was really the sign that like, hey, there is something. Something good is happening here. You know, I wouldn't say I earned a lot of money at the start, but I was getting some form of income just from streaming, and that was very exciting to me. At that point of time, I was still working in my second startup full-time, and I had just started my master's part-time. So I had a lot of things on my plate, but at the same time, Twitch was growing so fast, and I really wanted to see where I could take it. And that was when I decided to give myself like a 2-3 month trial period.
Okay.
To test things out and to be like, okay, I'm gonna take Twitch as seriously as I would a full-time job for the next 3 months, even though I have another full-time job.
Ah, okay, okay.
And if I can, you know, earn X amount of money, and I can sustain X amount of viewers, I will pursue this full-time.
Mm.
So that was what I gave myself, and that was what happened for November, December, and essentially January, and I did really well.
Yeah.
Very thankful for that. You know, surpassed my initial kind of criteria that I set for myself, and then it was just about making the decision to go, like, get out of the full-time and go to Twitch full-time.
It's like to make a decision for yourself to like, okay, I gotta do this for myself now, and I gotta go.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and it was very... was a little bit scary, just naturally, right?
I was going to say, as it would be, right? You just quit your job to do something.
So I was quite afraid. I was acting out of a whim. I wasn't thinking rationally about my decision, but I'm glad that I did it because it gave me so much more time to really focus on the content that I wanted to build out and the community that I wanted to build on Twitch. So,
what made me recognize it was the skate thing that you did. Pathway program?
Pathway program.
Yeah, and then you were invited to be a mentor.
Yeah.
And then, okay, funny story is that my chat asked me like, oh, why don't you sign up for the pathway program? Like asking me, and I will sign up as like under a mentor, right? And then I was like, who are the mentors? So I had to look, and I was like, you're a mentor? And I was like, she literally just became partner. Like at that point in time, I was like, oh, really? Like, what is she going to teach me if she just became partner? Yeah. So maybe you want to share your thoughts about pathway.
So it is a funny story. Okay, and sure. Like all of your... I wouldn't say doubts, but I think your natural thoughts are very valid because it was the exact same thoughts that I had, right? When I got the call to be asked to be a mentor for Pathway 2020, I'm like, who is gonna take me seriously? At that point of time, when I got that call, I had only been streaming for, I think, 2 months at that time. And I was very honored, obviously, but at the same time, so nervous because I know so many streamers who had streamed much longer than I had. And, you know, I think what a lot of people didn't know at that time was that in my first startup, I was already doing mentoring for youth in career development.
Yeah.
So I have been exposed to mentoring and all that sort of stuff in the past. But I also understand that mentoring stream is also a little bit different. There has to be some elements of Twitch or streaming or content creation that you need to understand.
Yeah.
So I was very nervous, but I took that risk and I really gave it like my 110%. I went to like read up, I went to like watch streamers and learn how they do things and basically immerse myself entirely in the streaming culture so that I would know how to help my mentees at that time.
Yeah. I know like after that, that was like, that's like 2020, right? Like when you were doing all these things.
Yeah, 2020, early 2021,
right?
Yes.
Let's talk about like the later, like the middle year of 2021.
Yeah.
Okay, that's when you're, that's when a lot of things happened and that you became like a popular streamer in Singapore to a popular global streamer to a certain extent. I mean, I'll say it, like, she don't want to say that, I say it, like, okay? So, we're going to talk about your growth in streaming, okay? So, according to my stats of Google and the internet, right? That you had a surge of followers of 12K from May 2021 to July 2021. And you currently have 37.5K followers as of October 2021. It may be inaccurate as of now, but, like, you know, around there, you know what I mean, right? So, the fact that you grew in a span of, like, May, June, July, 3 months, like 10K plus followers, right? 12K followers, sorry. That was crazy. So how did that happen?
So I think just a little bit about the months before that.
Sure.
It was actually the lower months that I've ever had on Twitch. So March and April were, a little bit of May were really tough. My physical health took quite a bit of a toll, so I couldn't stream as much. And there wasn't really anything happening on Twitch or in the Singapore scene. And I think you know this, and I think creators know this. Sometimes when there are events, there are more viewers and there are more people that are able to you're able to engage. But there are going to be moments where it's kind of like just dry and a bit deserted and no one's really on Twitch. And that's fine, right? But it was a little bit challenging for me because I had just became a full-time streamer. And I was like, I literally just dropped my income to do this. And there was this dip in my viewership, in my engagement, and I was so worried.
Yeah.
I was like, what do I need to do more to be able to bring that back up? And I had been working and trying out new things and, again, very new to not just live streaming, but being in the entertainment content creation space. And I slowly decided to kind of move into music just as a fun content. I actually started doing music for fun.
Okay.
And then my viewers encouraged me to, you know, hey, you know how to play the guitar, why not try and play the guitar and sing? And so it's honestly because of them that I started singing again.
Shout out to y'all.
So
giving her career options, you know. Musician now on the list, you know.
But yeah, So I was doing a bit of music and I realized it gained quite a bit of regional attraction.
Ah, okay.
Because the amazing thing about music is that it transcends wherever you're from and whatever you're interested in. Anyone can listen to music. Not everyone can watch a Valorant game, let alone a horrible Valorant game.
No.
But everyone can listen to decent music, right? And so I realized, oh, I was getting like a bit more of a regional audience, and I was really happy.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a bit of a growth, but then it came the day. I was just ready for a normal stream, and I remember I went live, and instantly when I went live, I immediately saw that I had 2,000 viewers.
So what was your normal viewership before that?
My normal viewership before that, I averaged about 180 viewers.
Okay.
Yeah, and usually when you start your stream, you start with like, just like maybe like 90, 100. So when I immediately started and we had 2K viewers, you can ask my mods this, my moderators. Yeah. I literally messaged my mods and I said, I'm being view-botted.
Ah, okay.
Viewbot is basically when someone wants to sabotage you and they buy viewerships or followers and then they
send it to your account.
Yeah. So it messes up with your algorithm. It's just not a great thing. Yeah. And I was panicking and I was like, I'm not ready for this. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But I was like, play it chill. But what made me realize that they were real people was when I started to see a lot more people talking. My chat was moving at such a fast pace that I had never seen before. And I was like, yeah, I don't know you. And back before that, my community was really tight-knit. Everyone knew everyone, and I knew how some of them had even looked like and stuff like that. And I was doing music that day. And I did music, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, we went all the way up to, I think, 14 or 15,000 viewers.
Yeah. 14K is like literally impossible at that time for a Singaporean streamer.
For a normie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like a... It makes sense for like the famous American streamers, but not a me. So I was very confused. But basically why that was so significant was because... according to the chat, I didn't even know this, but we had hit the highest amount of viewers on a live stream in Singapore ever. And they were kind of like, I guess they were celebrating that. I was more confused about the whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
And then I started crying because I was like, I don't know what, but I'm very grateful. Like, I am.
Do you still have this clip?
Yeah, I think we have it.
Okay, but, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah. Yeah, so I was just like, I just didn't know what was happening at all. And I will tell you, till today, I don't really know what happened. I didn't ask to be put there. But all I can say is I am incredibly grateful that I was given that discoverability at that time. I was like, I'm here now. The last thing I want to do is to question and doubt the people there. I'm just going to put on a good show, do my best, and be grateful for that moment. Because I would never get it again. I would never get that amount of viewers ever again. At that time, I did not know. But, you know, like, and then a kind Twitch staff from California comes into my chat. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no. I'm like, what do you mean? Who's going to be okay?
Yeah.
And then he told me that I was on Global Front Page.
Okay. What exactly does that entail for the people who don't know much about Twitch?
From my knowledge, I just knew that I was being put on the front page of Twitch for viewers all around the world. So not just Singapore, not just Southeast Asia, but also in America, US, UK.
Yeah, which is rare, right?
Very, like, very rare. Not something that you can just
get onto.
Yeah.
So with all these things happening that you mentioned, like, you know, the boom in like the viewerships, like being on the front page and stuff like that, would you say that a lot of it was luck?
To me, my definition of the word luck is opportunity and preparation, right? An opportunity can come to you, but if you are not ready to be able to fully grab onto the opportunity, it doesn't matter what comes your way. It will just either pass you or you will kind of go through it and it won't be at its biggest, fullest potential. So I am definitely incredibly like blessed that that opportunity came to me. But I know that the community was ready. I know that I had already been working really, really, really hard on my content at that time. And as a human being, I think I was ready. When people say, oh, you're just lucky. Well, yeah, sure, I am lucky, but I can give that same opportunity to you. Can you capitalize on it? Can you utilize it, right? I'm not doubting you. It's like a challenge. Like, go for it. I want to see you succeed. So, I had a lot of people say that to me.
Were people jealous of this? Like, did you like hear things about people like, you know, commenting negatively about it in a way?
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay. No, it's fine.
Well,
if you don't.
I wouldn't actively go and like snoop around
of course.
People were talking, but I guess people were definitely talking because like I mentioned, like there were even people and viewers who from Singapore who were never on my stream before, would never talk on my stream, who did come onto my stream when I had those when I had a higher viewer count. So I'm pretty sure people did talk here and there.
Right.
In terms of whether people were jealous, I think it's normal.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they were, but I'm saying that if they did feel some form of envy, I just want to say that it's normal. Even till today, when I see, you know, other streamers, maybe they have a higher viewer count or stuff like that, I also get kind of like, oh man, like, you know, like, but it's not in a way that I'm insulting their content or I don't think that they deserve the views. It's more of a reflection of myself, right? Like, am I able to get that viewership with the content I'm creating? What am I not doing enough to be able to kind of grow?
You mentioned, you know, that people come into your stream and stuff like that and then like never met before. Maybe people might have wanted to come in to kind of like capitalize on this, especially streamers. The fact is, Twitch is a platform where views are everything, right? Like the view count is everything. Naturally, I think that there might have been circumstances or situations where people have done this. Has it happened to you? Or maybe I'm wrong?
I think there's a fine line.
Okay.
Right? So I think networking is important. I think that is, as a streamer, it's important to go and meet other streamers and not with the intention to be like, hey, I want your viewers, right? But more of like, I want to know more about you as a streamer, know about your community, and I highly encourage that.
The intention,
yes,
right?
Because that's the way that people get to know you and you get to know other people. That's what builds the community.
Yeah.
But the line is very fine.
It's true,
right?
It's true.
I've experienced a little bit, I mean, where like viewers, not viewers, but where people come in and they are kind of luring them to like their own streams.
Okay.
And to my viewers, or to my chat, they might have not known it. But sometimes some things are just more obvious from like my, as a streamer perspective.
Yeah.
I think the streamers can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah. I don't know if you know where we're going into, but there was a news article that went viral online because in the US there was a leak on Twitch, right? And there were the earnings from multiple like big time streamers were made known like publicly, you know, how much they earn and everything. Unfortunately for you, as I say that.
Yeah.
okay, well, I mean, there was an article that went live that were mentioned the top 10 streamers in Singapore and how much they earned.
Yes.
Because there was all this information on the internet.
Yeah.
On the list of top 10 highest earning streamers in Singapore, you are number 3,457 worldwide in terms of your income. Which to me, that's crazy because worldwide is such a huge like scale, right?
Yeah.
And like the number 3,000, though it seems big, but like if you think about it on a global scale, it's not that big. It's pretty high up, right? Which is very impressive and that's crazy. And according to the article, it has mentioned, I will not say the exact number, but it was about 86,000 over 2 years.
Yeah.
But technically only one year plus.
Yeah, only 1 year.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, when this happened and then when you talked about it on stream after that, because you said you went on live to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
How did you clarify this with your community and what did you talk about on the stream?
I think mainly people were just asking, like, is it real?
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, I just said I didn't know. But according to the big streamers, the number was accurate.
Mm.
So it must have been accurate in some way.
Yeah.
So I just addressed that. And then people were just asking, like, my community is genuinely really nice. They were more concerned about how I felt because everyone was pretty aware that it was a little bit of an invasion of my privacy.
Mm. And how did you react when you know you found out about it?
The first thing I said was, what the heck is happening?
Yeah.
Because I never thought that I would ever be written about in these sort of articles, let alone about my income. right? And I panicked. I think as any natural person would, it's not that I had anything to hide. It's just that something that was relatively private is now on the internet for the rest of my life. And that was very scary to me. I was thinking, what do I do? What do I say? What should I do? And so on that day, I was already scheduled to stream.
Oh, okay.
Regardless. So I didn't do a stream just to talk about it, but I was already going to stream that day. And I just took some time to just kind of share with everyone like how I felt and talk about it, because people are going to talk about it eventually. Yep. Might as well hear it from me, right? So yeah, that's what I did. Fun fact for people who don't know, I wouldn't say that this is for all streamers. This is just for me. SuperCatK is actually a company.
Mm.
So I incorporated my business early this year. Ooh. So the money goes to my business, and then I take a salary from there, because I really want to make this my full time. I really want to make this my business baby. At the end of the day, I'm really proud of the content that I put out, and I'm really proud of like the work that I've done. I don't see any issue with how I've earned my money.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like any other person.
Yeah.
You know.
To kind of conclude the interview, how long do you see yourself doing this as like a full-time job?
To me, until I've fully, you know, covered all the grounds of gaming, esports, live streaming, and once I've tried everything and I realized that maybe this is not where I'm supposed to be, I will probably just stop there and go into something else, or just focus on building the small community. So that's what I might do. I don't know when or what that looks like, because the truth is right now I'm doing well, probably the best I've ever done in my entire 24 years of my life. And I'm thoroughly enjoying the work that I do. I enjoy the ability to be able to make an impact. And to use the platform for good. I will be trying different things in this space, and then we're just gonna see how it goes from there.
Like, you don't just go with the flow.
Yeah, maybe get married.
Damn, that was fast. Okay, you heard it first on Azula.
No, not
she's gonna get married.
No, not yet.
You heard it first, chat. So the final question is, any advice to upcoming streamers, smaller streamers, even bigger streamers out there who are trying to build this as a career as well? What would you say to them?
Many things to say.
Sure.
I think off the top of my head, I don't know why this is off the top of my head, to be honest, but I think it's to look out for one another. I think in this industry, it's like you said, very competitive, and it doesn't have to be, right? I think we've seen also from many successful streamers around the world how working together and helping bring each other up can really take us into the next level. I've only been in this industry for a good year, not even a full year yet, right?
Yeah.
Because I was only full time in like Jan, early Feb, but I've had a lot of people who have been so kind and generous in supporting me and taking care of me on this journey, which is already very challenging internally, right? I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yep.
So, look out for one another, support one another. There's a bunch of like technical things I can say as advice, like being consistent with your stream, constantly looking out for new ways to make content, take inspiration from people, but don't lose your own personality or values when you do things. But those are all things I think we can learn, like, regardless.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I think the crucial thing is having the heart to care for other people. And success is not fun when you're there by yourself.
So true.
Yeah.
There's this line. What is this line? Okay, if you want to grow fast, you go by yourself. If you want to like grow bigger or something like that, grow as a team. I may be wrong.
Quote. Yeah, there is a quote, but I can't remember it also.
Yeah, there's a quote somewhere. Please insert it. I probably said it wrong. But yes, that's the point, right?
Yeah.
It's not fun if you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can always achieve more doing it with other people.
It's more fulfilling.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So... Thank you, Denise, for being on today's video. It was a long conversation. So if you guys want to check her out, she streams. You can, what's your schedule? Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
See, I'm a fellow fan. Oh. I'm part of the club, okay? I don't know the timing. Timing-wise?
Tuesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, and then the timings, I usually either mention it on Discord or on Instagram.
Yeah, so now you guys know. Yeah. She has a fixed schedule, so please go and support her, twitch.tv/supercatk. You can also follow me at twitch.tv/submissionmagic. Self-promo, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just like mumbling off. But thank you for joining
us. No, thank you so much.
Sharing about your story, because I think... people are curious, and I was always also curious myself before asking you on board for this. So I think it's very insightful. And if you guys have any questions for Denise, you can always ask her on the stream, or you can leave it in the comments down below, or share your thoughts about, you know, the industry or what we talked about today. And let us know who else you want us to interview on future episodes of Azula. And remember to like, share, and subscribe. Bye-bye. Bye, guys.